So, just 10 days to go. I wonder, have you wrapped any presents yet? Have you bought any presents yet? Have you meticulously planned your Christmas TV viewing? This year, we know that Christmas is close because the national debate has finally switched from scrutinising party manifestos to scrutinising the John Lewis Christmas TV ad. I don't know if you've seen this year's, starring excitable Edgar the dragon, who nearly ruins Christmas, but in the end lights up the Christmas pud with his fiery breath. But the reviews, yes, reviews for adverts have been mixed. Not a classic, said one. Not Christmassy enough. And the most interesting, needs to get to the real meaning of Christmas. The real meaning of Christmas? Should we really expect as much from our friends across the street, the Church of John Lewis? In our readings this evening, we've looked at what happened that first Christmas in Luke and Matthew's Gospel. But our last reading from the letter of 1 John is an explanation as to why Christmas happened. We're given three spotlights, three insights into the real meaning of Christmas. And evidently none of them involve dragons. The first insight is this. Christmas means that God is love. Christmas means that God is love. For this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Christmas means that God is love and that love really matters. Do you believe that? Not everyone does. Francis Crick, the Nobel Prize-winning molecular biologist, wrote a book called The Astonishing Universe, in which he said something controversial, but from a secular viewpoint, irrefutable. He said, "You, your joys and your sorrows, your memories and your ambitions, your sense of personal identity and free will are all, in fact, no more than the behavior of a vast assembly of nerve cells and their associated molecules." He was saying that human beings have no soul, just a body. And that when you or I say things like, love matters, people matter, family matters, relationships matter. They're just a chemical response in the brain passed on from our ancestors, enabling us to survive. Do you believe that? But Christmas tells you what your heart intuitively knows. That love is more than chemicals in the brain. These are words in 1 John tell us that love has always existed and it will always exist. That's why we say, I love you forever, not just I love you till you die. Because a love originated from the Creator God, not from the creation. Recognizing that you need at least two persons for love to exist. Every religion in the world, except for the Christian faith, says God is a force or a unipersonal being who created humans, then love could exist. But the Bible claims that God is love already. He is a communal, glorious love in himself. The Trinity, three persons in one God, who have always existed, loving each other for all eternity. So God, who is love, pre-existed the world. And that love created the world. But even more, that love is redeeming the world. Because Christmas means that in love, God sent his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world. Not so that he'd stay as a baby in a quaint nativity scene, but so that 33 years later, he would atone for your sins at the cross. That is the ultimate expression of love, to take upon himself the punishment due to us for our wrongdoing, dying as our substitute and rising again to defeat sin and death. That's how we know that God is love and that love matters. I wonder, do you know that love this Christmas time? So God is love. But second, Christmas means that God is life. That's how the letter of 1 John opens, similar to the same writer's gospel. We proclaim the word of life. The message, yes, but even more, the person of Jesus, because the life appeared. That's a great summary of Christmas in three words. The life appeared. Jesus was born into this world. And John is telling us that in Jesus' later life, he was an eyewitness. John was there. He has seen this life. He testifies to it. He proclaims it because he's heard it and he's seen it and he's looked and he's touched. In other words, Christmas shows us that God is not playing hide and seek. He has appeared. Life has appeared. When my eldest son, who's sitting down there, was three, there were really not many places to hide in his bedroom. He'd say, "Daddy, I'll hide, you count." He'd dive under the duvet, I'd count to 10, and then I'd pretend to look in the wardrobe, I'd pretend to look behind the chair, I'd pretend to look under the bed, but before I'd finish looking, he'd jump out shouting, "Here I am! Now your turn, Daddy," he'd say. "How many will you count to?" I'd ask. He'd reply, "One." And the same thing would happen. I'd be under the duvet, he knew that, but he'd look in the wardrobe, he'd look behind the chair, he'd look under the bed, and I'd jump out and I'd shout, "Here I am!" You see, he thought that we were playing hide and seek, but actually we were playing appear and see. And that is what Jesus did in coming as a baby at Christmas time. God is life, and that life appeared. God the Father allowed his Son to be put on display and examined like a prized exhibit in a museum, looked at, touched, seen. Because Christmas is the invisible becoming visible. It is the Creator coming into creation, the all-powerful becoming a number of chromosomes, eternity entering time, a baby dividing time in two. Can you marvel at that this Christmas time? Life has appeared because God has appeared. In 1961, when Yuri Gagarin reached the moon, Nikita Khrushchev, the Soviet premier, said in a speech, "Gagarin flew to space but saw no God there." But if there is a God, you wouldn't relate to him the way a person on the first floor relates to a person living on the second floor. You'd relate the way Shakespeare relates to Hamlet, if Shakespeare wrote himself into the play. You see, Christmas means that God has looked into the world that he created and has written himself into the play, appearing, living, showing us who he is, dying and rising again. God's not hiding. God's not hiding. So God is love. God is life. And the life appeared. But finally, Christmas means that God gives life. And what a gift that is this Christmas time. I wonder if you've ever been part of a workplace secret Santa and you've had to buy a gift for someone you don't know. Or dare I say it, you've had to buy a gift for someone you actively don't like. A surprisingly common Google search this time of year is, what do I buy someone I don't like? Which yields the following passive-aggressive gift ideas. Diet books, cleaning supplies, toiletries you've picked up for free from your last hotel stay, and if you're feeling particularly mean, deodorant. But in contrast to all this, God's gift at Christmas time, even to those who spent their lives ignoring him and maligning him, is life. 1 John says, we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. What is this eternal life? It is rescue. Because God is not some heavenly Santa Claus fulfilling our material desires, but he is our Savior come to rescue us. His gift of life is sending Jesus to atone for our sins and the freedom and the joy that he brings as Lord of our lives now and into eternity. Eternal life. If someone ignored us, let alone opposed us, we wouldn't even give them a Christmas card, let alone give them a gift. And yet, while we still oppose God by living our lives without reference to him, God gives us a gift that is very much needed. Life, rescue from our sin. I wonder, have you ever received a gift that seems unwanted? A fourth pair of green gloves? Another pot of jam? I once received the very same tie from the very same person 2 years running. They'd forgotten. Imagine if on a Christmas morning I picked up a gift that my wife had carefully wrapped for me. I ripped it open and inside was a life jacket. I think I'd be a bit confused and disappointed, wasn't part of the hints I'd been giving her. Because why would I need a life jacket? I don't sail, I don't swim in the sea that often, I don't surf, I don't kayak, I live in Cheltenham. But then again, if I was at sea and I fell overboard, a life jacket would be exactly what I needed. If a lifeboat came and threw to me instead a Christmas pudding or some Christmas socks, however lovingly chosen, I would perish. In our lives, we may not think that we've fallen overboard, but the Bible tells us that we are in need of rescuing, not from drowning, but from sin, ignoring God, living life our own way. God's gift to us is life. The baby in a manger who went to the cross to take the punishment due to us for turning our backs on God. He bore the consequences of our actions in death, so we don't have to. And in rising again, he is the gift of life we all need. God is love. God is life. God gives life. So this year, in your heart, will the true meaning of Christmas make any difference? The love and the life that Jesus Christ brings? Or will you let Christmas come and go, and by the end of January, everything's the same? come January, we'd love you to come to our Life Explored course, 7 sessions of DVDs and discussion looking at what life is about. Starts January the 15th. You can find out more and even sign up in the welcome area at the back. In addition, we'd love you to take away absolutely free one of these booklets, Are You Ready for Christmas?, which explains a bit more about God's gift of life. There's one in every other seat, or else a big pile at the back. Please do take one. God is love. God is life. God gives life. And because of that, God is for life, not just for Christmas. Well, we're going to sing our final carol directly afterwards, without anything further from the front. You're warmly invited for mince pies and mulled wine, tea and coffee in the Rodney Hall through these doors to your left. But what a great carol to end with. God and sinners reconciled, light and life to all he brings. That's what we're invited to experience this Christmas time. Hark, the herald angels sing.